I'd like to bring your attention, if I may, to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, one of my favorite books in the Bible. And just a couple of verses there, though, that I want to use to start us off. And let's see, 2 Timothy 3, yes. 2 Timothy 3, if you have your Bible with you, I would appreciate it if you opened it to that particular place. 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 12. Now, while you take a look, I'll say a short prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, please give me wisdom, Lord, and give me good voice as I bring forth this message today, Lord. And I pray that those hearts out there, Lord, who love to hear your word and love to digest it, Lord, properly, that they will be blessed by what is said here today. But most of all, Lord, that you will be lifted up. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, now I've called or titled the name of my message, Itching Ears. Itching Ears. Now that's something nobody enjoys, of course, but all I can say is, if you've got itching ears, well, scratch them. Anyway, let's get serious for a while, okay? Okay, 2 Timothy 3, beginning at verse 12. We read, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Now, verse 14. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, if we went over to chapter 4, verse 3 also, concerning these itching ears that we're aiming at, we will find more understanding, more relevance to why we are using that topic today, itching ears. You see, the King James Bible, the 1611 King James Authorized Bible, is there for our understanding and is clearly, I might add, clearly, oh, we've got a little problem here, excuse me, is clearly destined in 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16 and also 17. Let's read that and see what it says. Okay, all scripture, oh, I love this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And verse 17 says, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thoroughly furnished to all good works. Now, you may recognize that the word thoroughly is spelled a little differently here in the scripture. It's T-H-R-U-G-H-L-Y. But it is actually thoroughly, okay? Thoroughly and truly are compatible in this particular situation, okay? Good. All right. Enough of the English lesson, okay? Now, there you have it. There you have it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly or truly furnished unto all good works. Now, the Holy Scriptures are given to us by none other than the holy and righteous God, of course. You know, I recall the first time, the very first time I read 2 Timothy 3:16, I had no idea what I was reading. then a friend of mine set me straight. He said, he actually told me to read 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 over and over, if it need be, 100 times. And then he said, then check for the cross references in other verses, where it'll give you like a little, just below each verse, it'll tell you where you can look to find a cross reference to that verse. Okay? And they will define and support the verse you may be having trouble with. Now, you may be having difficulty in understanding this. I call them Holy Spirit verses. Holy Spirit verses. You know why? Because this is a major part of the Holy Spirit's purpose. When you are a born-again Christian, and He indwells you, which He does if you are, don't forget, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is actually who? God Himself. Right? There are three persons in God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, known, of course, as the Trinity. Ephesians 4, verse 4 tells us there is one body and one Spirit. And we are also reminded in chapter 4, verse 30, that we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You got that? In other words, don't run around, you know, blaspheming God. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. Don't say things that are ungodly in any fashion. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. Because if you are truly saved, the Holy Spirit indwells you. And you should keep that in mind. We are also reminded in 4:30, I just said that, not to grieve, of course. You know, it bears repeating, it does. It's the Spirit who gives us utterance. Us who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we get our utterance through the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God who intercedes for us at the throne of grace. And always remember, it's the sword of the Spirit that is the Word of God. The Word of God. Now, if we're not indwelt by the Holy Spirit, then, of course, we are not born from above. We are not born from above. Now, getting back to 2 Timothy 3:16, there is much to be desired here. Let's take a closer look, shall we? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Did you know that? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, if God inspired the Scripture, you think God is going to make a mistake? He who is above all, He who is holy, He who is righteous, He who is perfect. No, God doesn't make mistakes. You may look around sometimes and say, look at that stupid looking twig over there, that flower. It's backwards, it's upside down, it's crooked, it's bent. God made a mistake. No, God didn't make a mistake. God allowed that to happen. In other words, from cover to cover in the King James Authorized Version 1611 Bible, in all you see written therein, guess what? It's inspired by God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Have you got that? When you read it, when we handle it, and when we seek to employ it, then we are engaging in the holiness of our righteous God. Wow. Our righteous God. You know, all Scripture, the Bible says, all Scripture is profitable for, is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine. The more we read and study God's Word, well, the greater our gain. You might say, well, I don't know, I'm not getting any richer. Well, you're looking for the wrong things, you know. Seek and ye shall find. But we're not saying, seek a gold mine if you'll find it. Now, that's almost an insult to God to say something like that. It's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine. The more we read and the more we study God's Word, the greater our gain. The greater our gain intellectually, our hearts, our minds. And you know what's really great about the Scriptures? You know what I find really great about the Scriptures? I mean, everything is, of course, but everything you see, everything you read, everything you ponder will always, always encourage you and simplify or help to simplify your faith. Okay? Makes sense? I think so. Also written, also within the pages, rather, of this holy book we're talking about is reproof and correction on how to walk circumspectly according to His Word. That's pretty good. I like that. And last but certainly not least, God provides us with instruction in righteousness. If we wonder, well, is it okay to do that? Should I go over there? Or should I talk like that? Consult God in prayer. You find out. Read the Bible. It's all in there. It tells you what you can and should not do. From the day we are born, we need instruction. Of course, we can't, baby can't understand it, but we need it. We are instructed in various ways. We need instruction about how to live and how to walk with God. For in so doing, we will reap great joy and purity of heart if we do this. If we will walk with God and believe in His Word, we will. I know. I've experienced it myself. So I know what I'm talking about, or I wouldn't be saying it. Now, if we look at verse 17, we get the full reason why verse 16 is so important. Verse 17, for the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Wow. Like I said, the word thoroughly is used. Well, it's used 5 times in the Bible. And its modern-day vernacular is spelled thoroughly, T-H-O-R, which means exactly, exact or completely, limitless. Okay? But we already went into that. I just thought I'd give a little refresher there in the middle. Okay? All right. Let's move along. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Well, they pretty well sum up God's desire for all His people. Are you one of God's people? Well, I hope you are. If you're not, I pray you will become one very quickly. Tell me, how is it with you anyway? You listen to these sermons from week after week. You read the Scriptures perhaps day after day. You pray all the time without ceasing. But are you really a child of the King? Or are you not sure you are when you stand in God's eyes? Ooh, if you're not sure where you stand in God's eyes, then listen, the devil is sure where you stand in his eyes. Oh, yeah. You see, doubt has to be erased. Let the truth be known, and let that doubt be cast away. This is one thing you can be sure of. Like the atheist once said, there are only 2 things you can be sure of in this world. Death. Are you ready? Death and taxes. I think you probably all heard that anyway. Now, isn't he, the devil, a bearer of good news? Oh, yeah, sure he is. Now, you know why God gave us His Word, right? You know why God gave us His Word? Simply put, without the Word of God, without His Holy Scriptures, every man, every woman, every child would end up in a fiery hell for all eternity. Now, isn't that a nice kettle of fish, you say? Well, I'll tell you, I have no plans on ending up in an eternal hell. No way, no way. Because I am sure of my salvation. Are you sure of your salvation? I pray you are. Oh, but God so loved the world. What? God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hebrews 13:5 tells us, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Did you hear that? Do you believe that? I do. God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And He's never left me nor forsaken me. Oh, He lets me go through some difficult times. Yeah, but that's a learning experience. Because when you go through difficult times as a Christian, that will draw you closer to God, because then you'll reach out more to Him. If your life is too cozy and comfortable, you'll start to drift away and think, you don't want to bother Him. You're doing okay. But you're not. He wants you to bother Him. He wants you to contact Him all the time. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. Pray without ceasing. Let your conversation be without covetousness. For God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I don't know about you, but it works for me. It works for me. How do you suppose that old devil might say? Would he say words like this? You see, Satan is very good at twisting and making Scripture work for him. Yes? A lot of preachers out there, they twist Scripture around, make it work like you don't need God as much as you want. Stop bugging Him all the time. You think He wants to be bothered with you all the time? Do things on your own. Come on, you know all about what He wants you to do, so just get busy and stop bugging Him. God wants you to bug Him. Oh, yes, He do. But they say, and this is Satan actually saying it to them, he's very good at twisting and making Scripture work for him, so that old devil would faithfully and truthfully say, I will never leave you either. I will never leave you either. And he won't. Because when you're in hell, he's there with you. He doesn't leave you. Uh-uh. You see, Satan knows all about the Bible. He knows it better than we do. However, he never did agree with it totally. So, the words he didn't like, he'd leave them out. He'd leave them out, like he does. If you were a King James person, and then you switch over to an NIV person, you'll see a lot of words that were in the King James version left out in the NIV. That's what he does. Because the NIV would seem to you, it's a lot easier not only to understand, but a lot easier to get along with. Because you can do more. You can think more. You can be more aggressive in your lifestyle. Oh, no. No, this occurs a lot in these big mega churches that he has such influence over. Oh, he's mega amount of influence on the mega churches. Let's put it that way. I mean, they're going crazy. They're putting up, you know, bandstands, and they're having like a big background film, like CinemaScope on the back wall where the cross used to hang. And they're telling weird stories, and people are jumping around and just carrying on like having a good time, they think. But where's God in it? Where's Jesus in it? You might get 5 minutes talking about Jesus, and the rest is talking about how you can get rich or something. Come on, will you? Come on. Tell me, what do you really think about how mega church? Yeah, that's a good question. How do you think mega churches became mega churches? Like I said, by watering down the Word of God so it's more palatable. Not only easier to read and understand, but mostly to agree with a lost and dying world. For example, where the Word of God tells us we are all sinners, a megachurch might say, and many of them do, that's just a figure of speech. Yeah? Is that what you think? We are all sinners. You think if we weren't all sinners that Jesus would have went to the cross just to die for a few of us? He died for sinners, didn't he? But he died for all sinners. All sinners. You, me, him, her, those, them. Come on, will ya? Let's be real. All sinners. Mega churches. Oh, drive you up the wall. Repent. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Satan concludes that this is just a manner of speaking where the Word of God says, hell is a place where the worm dieth not. The devil says, of course not. We are very kind to our worms. Are you really now? Do you get the picture? Tell me, do you really get the picture? Are you focused in on what God is trying to talk to your heart about? How do you spell subtlety? Tell me, how do you spell subtlety? Now, I have had enough time just pronouncing it, so I'm not going to say it again. How do you spell it? But here's the showstopper of them all. Here's the real showstopper. I say showstopper because some churches today are a virtual step up or down to Las Vegas, the Las Vegas style. We came here to celebrate salvation, not to give place to damnation. Lights, camera, action. Oh my, give me a break, will you? Monitors hanging from the ceiling with revised hymns, revised, rewritten. Fanny Crosby's turning over. Oh, no. They're revised, they're modernized, though they would differ. It's okay if they revise them because then they say, well, this is what it really means. The writer, you know, they might have had a little nip before they wrote that line. Oh, come on. Some of these mega churches even have light shows, as though you were attending a Hollywood premiere. There's even a light haze of smoke, drifting about above the rafters and over the heads. Sounds like the back row or the upstairs of a movie theater to me. What used to be a place of salvation, of worship, has turned into a place of ridicule and damnation in the eyes of God. I could go on and on and on, but it's too painful. It's too painful. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Now get this, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And in verse 6, Paul writes, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Can we say we have kept the faith? Can we? Oh, you know, some people say, well, I can never keep my faith that long. I'll be here another 50 years maybe, and I don't think I can keep my faith that long. Well, sure you can. You see, if you're a believer in Christ, that he went to the cross for you, that he suffered and died on that cruel cross, and you pray daily, and always be in an attitude of prayer. I don't mean you have to be on your knees all day long. No, you got a job to do, probably. That's not what God means. In your heart, always be in an attitude of prayer. Always put God and Christ first. Okay? Can we say the same thing? I have kept the faith, can we? Can you? Or is it a transparent faith that even a child can see through? A feel-good faith that dies before it has taken root? Oh, I went from a Catholic church to a tiny Baptist church. Catholic church overflowing with worshipers. A tiny Baptist church. A handful of people dedicated to the cause of Christ. I never turned back after that. Because that's where I found the real Jesus Christ. In that tiny Baptist church. With that holy book called the 1611 King James Authorized Version Bible. Never look back. Oh, along the way, it's been quite a journey indeed, yeah. I did a stint in a Free Will Baptist church for a little while along the way, thinking it was the right kind of church to turn over to, but I soon found out, because of its size, because of the different attitudes that were mixed in, some like this version, some like that version, some would not agree with this, so it got kind of spicy, you might say. And then when they added rock music from the podium and the message in an hour and practically an hour and 30-minute sermon, supposed to be, or service, I should say, you only get 10 or 15 minutes of preaching. Oh, woe's me. So then I found my way back to a little Cornerstone Baptist Independent Church, and I've been happy, 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 happy all day long, because that's where I love to be. Oh, yes, Jesus is there. That's where he is. Do you have itching ears? Tell me. Do you? If you do, don't scratch them. God loves them that way. Especially if they're itching for the truth. I want to thank you for listening today, and I hope you share the same blessing I've gotten. May God watch over you and yours. And if there's one you know in your family who's not saved, I urge you, tell them about Jesus today. In his precious name I pray. Amen. Amen.